Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are tuned in to the finest gospel station on the internet, the Love Lift Me Up Show. Hallelujah. Giving Jesus all the praise. Featuring gospel artists, authors, teachers, writers, actresses, actors, educators, and community leaders. Let's give it up for the host of the show, Dr. Elfrida Love, and the star of the show, the one and only Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Love Live Jesus Ministry, where Jesus shines with love. I'm your host this evening, Elfrida Love, and this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I am excited and delighted to be on air today, and we have a very special guest, Kayla Brock, but she will be on in just a few minutes. But I would like to first of all thank God and my family and each of my friends for joining me at this particular time to listen to the Love Live Jesus Ministry. I would like to pray, then read, of course, Psalm 136, numbers 1 through 9, and then we will get on with our interview. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for blessing us as we were able to wake up this morning and you started us on our way. You gave us a reasonable portion of our health and strength, and you helped us, Heavenly Father. You shielded us and you protected us from all hurt, harm, and danger. Lord, we ask that you continue to bless this ministry to go higher and bless each guest who comes on this ministry and all of the things that they are doing, their gifts, the foundations that you have set for them, their families, and everything that they touch, which you bless it to prosper. In the name of Jesus, we ask that you bless this particular segment to be something that you will please with and satisfied with, and which you bless the knowledge and wisdom to help the people become healthy, not only in the body, but for you. Lord, we ask that you continue to lift us up, Heavenly Father, where we're weak, and build us up where we're torn down. Lord, we thank you for each day. We thank you for each breath in our body, and we ask that we continue to worship and praise your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to read Psalm 136, Numbers 1 through 9. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. Who made the great lights, his love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, his love endures forever. The moon and stars to govern the night, his love endures forever. I have read to you Psalm 136, numbers 1 through 9. May the Lord add a blessing to the ears, the doers, and the seekers of his holy word. And I would like to introduce our guest today. Our guest is a coach. She is the co-founder and president of the Rock Solid Fitness, LLC. She has many certifications, and she's also a specialist in performance training and wellness consulting. She is a national strength and conditioning certified specialist. She has many degrees and expertise in exercise, personal fitness. She's a health coach, and her mission is to improve the performance of athletes and to help our lives become better, and she has been at this for 11 years plus. So without further ado, I would like to introduce to some and present to others Coach Kayla Brooks. Coach Kayla Brock. Coach Brock, are you on the line?
I'm on the line. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Blessed and highly favored.
That's great. Do you mind if I ask you a couple of questions about all of these great gifts that the Lord has given you?
Oh, certainly. Please do.
All right, let's start. I want to start with your book project, Design Your Body. And you give. Please tell us a little bit about this book and when did you start writing this book and what made you write this book?
Okay. The book is called Design Your Body, Your Guide to Cutting Through the Fat. I started writing the book officially in February of this past year. So from February to August was the time that I really spent putting my head down at home, grinding and really typing out this work. You know, I did the self-publishing, so this is a self-published work I'm really proud of. But what got me interested in writing this book is, you know, being a fitness professional and having clients call, ask questions, friends, family, just ask random questions, it was interesting because it almost seemed like I always had an answer. And it was, you know, whether a partial or whether, you know, completely a full answer, it just, I always had something that I could add to what they were saying or something that I could, you know, feed into them. And I was just like, I need to write this down because there were certain times where I really felt myself flowing in the spirit, and it was, I'm a PK. You know, my dad is a bishop in Cincinnati, Ohio, of a church called the Grace Christian Fellowship. And, you know, I've always grown up in the church and always thought that, you know, if you're not a teacher or you're not an apostle or you're not, you know, a preacher or hospitality, anything like that, any of those traditional gifts of the Spirit, that I didn't know what my calling was. But I literally felt myself just flow in the Spirit, you know, or just flow when people would ask me these questions because it was my time. And so I just started jotting some things down. I wrote an outline about a year ago and just let it sit for some odd reason. You know how that is. But
that's right, yes, ma'am.
The book is complete and it's out.
Good. Okay. Now, what are some major themes in your book?
One of the things I introduce is the Trinity of health and wellness. This is something that I'm coining, and this is something that I do, you know, when I speak around the country that I speak on. A lot of people, they feel as if they're good on their nutrition, they're healthy. Or if they're good on cardio, they're healthy. Or reversely, if they're good on their resistance training, they're good to go. And that's incorrect. You can have a marathon runner, you know, someone who was very, very, very thin, but cardiovascularly, they may be in the best shape in the world. But when you look at their entire body, they can be unhealthy and often sick. So their cardiovascular system being, you know, blood and heart and lungs and the ability to breathe, that can be, you know, above par. But you look at their muscular structure, you look at their bone density, those things are very weak. And a lot of times those people get injured because if they fall, their body is not used to carrying a certain amount of weight in a different fashion than just vertical running. You know, same thing with resistance trainers or bodybuilders. You have someone who just focuses on muscle bulk, you know, and size, where their cardiovascular system is lacking. And so you look at bodybuilders, most of them have a hypertrophic heart. Basically, that means that a bodybuilder's heart looks like a person who has high blood pressure. Mm-hmm. But you look at them as athletes, you know. So, and the same thing with nutrition. You can be vegan, vegetarian, or, you know, eat everything but still eat healthy. If that is the only aspect, you're not completing that full trinity. So that's one of the things that I focus on in the book. But also bringing lifestyle to people. It's not about diets. You know, I don't like the word diet. I rarely diet myself, and the only time I do is when I am, you know, training for a photo shoot or for a competition. That's the only time that I diet. Otherwise, I'm living my life. It's a lifestyle that I have.
Wow, that's good. Now, let me ask you this particular question.
Mm-hmm.
So will this book address anything about body extremities, such as how to get rid of, for instance, some individuals have fat around their belly, or, you know, women carry their weight in their hips. Will anything in the book address
mm-hmm.
those aspects?
Certainly. The book is it's really a blessing because it hits all areas, from those who, like you said, you know, may have some trouble spots to how to get rid of those trouble spots, also to those who may just store fat in different places, from women to men to, you know, old, young, and even those who may have some medical issues such as blood pressure, diabetes, hypertension, all of that. So the book really takes a look at each individual. It's not just a book. It's more of a workbook. But it allows you to, it basically teaches you how to create your own plan for where you are. So each person can get something different out of this book, but they can grow with it. It's not just going to stop, you know, today they finished reading it. It's not just going to stop, but it teaches them how to grow with their exercise and with their nutrition and health. So it's a very dynamic book that's really going to help some people.
Wow, okay. Now, speaking of fitness and things of that nature, can you tell listeners about how you first became interested in fitness.
Wow. back in the day, in my youth, I say that jokingly because I'm still fairly young, but I was a chubby kid. I was a little chubby kid. I was always active. You know, I played all sports from karate to basketball, volleyball. But I noticed that when I went to high school, you know, I still, again, basketball, volleyball, karate, all of those sports. I went in at 5'4" and almost 160 pounds as a young woman. Then I started running track, you know, played basketball, lost about 10 pounds. But I started running track, and I noticed that my coach got my weight down to 130 pounds. You know, and I felt great. I looked great. And then that was my freshman year. My sophomore year, I came back into track season at about 150, and I noticed at the end of the season, my coach got my weight off to 130 pounds again. So I started thinking, like, wow, maybe this is my ideal weight. Maybe this is where I'm supposed to be. You know, coach, let me figure out, what are you doing? What buttons are you pressing? So I became his understudy, and he really, you know, taught me a lot in figuring and creating my own philosophy on exercise, health, fitness, and all that. So that's what got me interested, is just seeing that he pressed this button on this day, and this is how my body reacted. And so to me, that was amazing. And then I went on to the University of Dayton to get my undergrad in exercise science and fitness management. And after I graduated, I really became an exercise scientist, because I could really figure out, again, if you look at just an elevator, if you press a button, you expect to go to that floor. You might have some stops along the way, some shorter, some longer, but you're going to get there. And that's what I do. You know, that's what became very fascinating. I became an engineer or a designer of the body, so that when clients come to me, as long as they stick to the plan that has been set for them, they will get to the answer based off of the equations and all this hard work and science and all that I've put into it. So it was a process in getting there, but it really sparked my interest in being able to literally design someone's body to the way that they would like it to be, but also the way that God would have it to be.
Oh, wow, that's great. Now, can you tell listeners a little bit about your company, Rock Solid Fitness, LLC?
Yes, the Rock Solid Fitness Performance Training and Wellness Consulting. That is a business that originally I founded in 2006.
Can you please repeat that, because the phone cut out?
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. The Rock Solid Fitness Performance Training and Wellness Consulting is a business that I started back in 2006 when people kept asking, what are you doing? How are you losing weight? Show me. Teach me. You know, so people kept asking me those questions, and I monopolized it. I used something that, you know, came easy and well to me to help others. I ended up hooking up with my business partner, R.D. Caldwell, who is one of my fraternity brothers from Mega Sci Phi Fraternity Incorporated, and it was almost perfect, because he had his own business, which was Rock Solid originally, and my business was Rock Fitness originally, and he's a minister as well, so it was a perfect fit. You had a Delta and an Omega, you know, a minister and a PK coming together to create this total entity of the Rock Solid Fitness. And we've been moving forward ever since. And the business, again, go around the country speaking, again, about health, wellness, fitness, performance. I've coached at a few colleges, again, spoken a few places. It's really a blessing to be able to get out and just help people in a different fashion.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you about this Rock Solid Fitness, because a lot of people want to know. Now, say, for instance, someone purchased a book. Is there going to be a workout plan? And if so, how do you know what my body needs?
Okay. Now, that's a great question. Now, in the book, it takes each individual where they are currently. So there are assessments and tests and questions and write this, circle this, highlight this, fill this out. There's all this information that literally shows you where you are. Like if you press A, go, you know, if you circle A, you're going to move to question C. So it really designates where you are. And the whole purpose of the book is to teach you how to do it. So it doesn't come with a cookie cutter plan, because I don't believe in those. But it allows you to create your own plan based off of the information that you learned from the book. So from chapter one, you will learn one aspect of goal setting. You know, you go to chapter 8, then you'll hit cardio. So the book really teaches you, again, how to create your own plan. Because the problem is that once people start losing weight, they don't know what else to do. They may stop. They may get to a plateau. But the book allows them and it teaches them literally step by step. And I have whole charts and matrix in there of, you know, here are some exercises for each muscle group, you know, things that I've created for you all. But it really shows readers how to create their own plan, but also how to move past their plateau. So though it is titled Design Your Body, Your Guide to Cutting Through the Fat, it's for any exerciser, anyone seeking health or wellness. You don't have to want to lose fat to get this book, because it shows you also how to build muscle. Because that's not everyone's problem isn't losing weight. Some people have a problem with gaining weight. They may want to bulk up. They may want to tone up, you know. So it really takes each individual where they are, and it shows them as much as they can glean from it.
Thank you, thank you. Okay. Now, can you tell us the importance of fitness and what has been your biggest challenge when training athletes?
The importance of fitness, I'll go two tracks for that. When you look at us, when you look at ministry, when you look at following what God has for us to do, there are a lot of people who cannot accomplish what God has set for them. They can't fulfill their purpose because they are physically unable.
That's right.
I've had some preachers and ministers come to me and say, Coach, when I preach, I feel like I'm having an asthma attack. You know, how can we expect to be deliverers of the word when we're excited, we're going in, when God's really talking to us, we can't effectively deliver the words that he has because we're struggling within our own bodies to get it out. And so that was, you know, one of my struggles in coming up was figuring out how does fitness fit into the kingdom. That was, you know, that took me honestly a long time. But again, when you look at, you know, us as Christians, our goal is to be as Christ-like as possible. Christ was walking everywhere every day, you know, ministering to people from, you know, the kingdom, like from castles on down to the whorehouse. Like, Christ was doing everything. And we have to be able to match him physically as well as mentally, emotionally, spiritually. You know, the Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Well, Christ Jesus had a mind to be physically active. The man was walking everywhere, eating very healthy, of course. So people, you know, we really limit that to just the spiritual aspect or just the mental aspect of it. But I believe that scripture itself travels on to the physical side. And when you, to go back to the question, when you look at how important is fitness in general, fitness is life. It's not about doing the same thing someone else is doing. Someone, you know, I love to resistance train. I absolutely love it. I'm not going to ask my grandmother to get in the gym with me and squat as much as I am. And I'm not going to ask her to do that. But I do want my grandma, who had two knee replacements, to get out and still squat. Because what that means is that she can sit down and stand up without help. You know, I want my grandma to be able to walk up her steps when middle night she wants to go downstairs and get some ice cream or get some tea or do what grandmothers do. You know, fitness is life. It's about creating a livelihood. We wanna live for a purpose, but we don't want to create hindrances in our own walks that won't allow us to go for where God wants us to go, and also just the general day-to-day. It's about creating a better day-to-day life. So fitness, yes, it is very, very, very important for everyone.
That's right. And I'm going back to that question, how does fitness fit into the kingdom? Mm-hmm. And when looking at fitness, we all have to be fit, and the Lord revealed that we have to put on the full armor when we go out into the world, mm-hmm. And our breastplates, you know what I mean, the full armor of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so when we deal with fitness and how it relates to the kingdom of God, God says that we have to make sure that we are mindful of what we put into our bodies, because he specifically tells us the things that are good for our bodies in the Bible and the things that we mm-hmm. should refrain from eating.
Yes.
And so he says it's our responsibility
to keep our temple, which is, he says, our temple is the body physically, our body that's going to turn back to dust, and also the church. He says you have to be careful what you bring into the church. You have to be careful what you put into the body. And so fitness, as you said, really fits into the kingdom of God because, just as you said, we have to make sure that we're doing things that will keep us healthy, but also we have to make sure in our own body, right, we have to make sure that we're putting in things that will not, in other words, exacerbate our blood pressure and things of that nature. So I think that's a real good question that you posed.
And that also brings up another topic of, you know, am I supposed to be vegan? Am I supposed to be vegetarian? If you look at it from a Christian standpoint, the dream, I believe, what's that boy's name? Paul, I believe it was.
Yes.
Was it Paul that had the dream of the animals under that big sheet and curtain? And he's him saying that, you know, I won't eat those, Lord. Those are unclean. And God has said, how dare you call this, how dare you call what I've called clean unclean? So, personally, I don't believe that it is a religious mandate as a Christian to not eat certain types of meat. I personally don't believe that. Again, my dad's a bishop. We go home and we barbecue.
Right.
But I do believe that everything is in moderation. If you look at your alcohol, there is nothing wrong with alcohol. Yes, Coach said it. There's nothing wrong with alcohol. The issue is the overconsumption. It's the same thing with food. There's nothing wrong with food, but the issue is the overconsumption. We begin to be greedy. We begin to be gluttonous. We then, because we're so heavy, we begin to be slothful, if you look physically speaking. It's all about moderation, and that's what this book talks about. I have nothing wrong with eating cheeseburger. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. But that's not a daily thing. And I won't get a fast food. I'll make my own. But my goal is to teach all people about how to create a lifestyle that you can live with. You know, if you want to be vegan, sure, go ahead. I'm going to eat my ice cream and still feel okay with myself.
Right.
You know, I'm going to have my eggs in the morning and still be okay. But again, it's about creating a healthy lifestyle that you can maintain. Because if you are not happy, you won't stick with it.
That's right. And, you know, I was listening to what you were saying as far as, you know, we have to do everything in moderation. That's exactly right. Excuse me.
Yeah.
And one thing that God revealed was that we reap what we sow, you know, and so you're putting in, you said, you know, I have ice cream, but also I know that you work out as well. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
So, you know, individuals who do not work out, we need to take that under consideration as in, okay, you said you're going to eat ice cream, then you need to do something to work off some of the fat because we're supposed to have 15% of fat daily anyways. But, you know, you're working out, so you're putting that in your body, but you're also burning it off.
Exactly.
So we want to make sure that people, when they have these cheeseburgers, hamburgers, whatever it is, that they're also putting in the work to get some of that off.
Burn it off.
We still need the 15% of fat, no doubt.
Exactly.
But you're also going to have to put in a little effort and walk or run or something.
And the hard thing is that people, it's hard. It's hard to realize what are the components of food. If you look at, for breakfast today, I made an egg burrito. So if you look at the egg white, the egg yolk, and the pita bread that I used, if I break that down, it literally breaks down into protein, carbohydrates, and fat. Those are the only three macronutrients that we have in our body. But if you look at a cheeseburger, though the meat may be some protein, if you just have, you know, an 80% lean, that means only 80% of that is actual protein. And the rest of that 20% is fat on top of the extra grease that comes with it, on top of the cheese, on top of all that. It's just about being conscious of what we are intaking. And you're absolutely right. When it comes to maintaining a lifestyle, you have to balance what you're eating and your activity. If you want to stay where you are weight-wise, size-wise, if you want to stay where you are, then you balance what you're eating and what you're doing. So if I go and do let's just say, you know, one for one, if I go and have 100 calories worth of a snack and I want to stay where I am, that means that I need to go and burn 100 calories of extra food. Now, this is, or, you know, of extra food that I took in. Now, if that snack is on top of my normal daily nutrition, that's the excess. So if I eat heavy one day and I have no activity, then I'm going to have an excess of calories that my body is going to take. And because I'm not being active, it's not going to use it. It's going to store it.
That's
now, on the reverse side, like, that's how we gain weight. You know, after years and years and years, that's how we gain weight. Every single time you eat, not that you're not working out. I don't want someone to get into the negative habit of, you know, oh, I put this morsel of food in my mouth, I need to go run. You know, I don't want people to get into that habit because that's not healthy. That also is a physiological, or a psychological, excuse me, disease there too. But again, it's about understanding, and the book goes through all this in detail. It's about understanding that, number one, it takes energy to run my body. For me to sit in a room all day long with no activity, no TV, no lights on, with no calories, not moving, it still takes thousands, if not, you know, 1,000 or, you know, 12,000 or however many per body type, it still takes calories for my brain to function, for my blood to move, my heart to pump, my muscles to do what they do. The issue is when, after we have that sedentary calorie amount, we take in more calories, but we don't burn off those extra calories, and that's how we end up gaining weight. So, you know, if I'm eating on a daily basis, of course we need to eat. You know, we need to have at least very bare minimum 3 meals a day. But if those calories go above what it takes for my body to function normally, along with me to get from point A to point B, you know, working, laughing, smiling, walking up steps, whatever those calories are, the more food that I eat, the more out of balance I am. But also, the more you exercise, the more calories you're burning. So it's about being balanced.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, can you explain your quote of a personal trainer is the bridge between mind, attitude, and body? What did you mean by that?
I love that. I've been saying that for years. I absolutely love that. What a lot of things that happen, people will have that idea. People know when they're unhealthy. Or if they don't know when they're unhealthy, they know when they're overweight. They know that they need to lose weight, or they know that something needs to change. But they may not have the mindset to do it. And so my quote, what that is a personal trainer's job is not only to have the knowledge of what to do, how to do, when to do, and what buttons to press, but they are the motivators that help you pass the hard part. The hard part isn't about exercise. The hardest part is mental. And I have a section in my book about daily battles. Like, I still have daily battles. I hate running.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, I hate it. I detest it. But I know if I want to look a certain way, that is one of the things that I need to put into my exercise plan. Personally, I'm an athlete, you know, so I love being in the weight room. I love throwing weights around. But I know if, again, I want to maintain a certain physique, I've got to add some good cardio. So every time I'm out running, whether it's on a trail or, you know, around the neighborhood or on a treadmill, I battle myself. My brain tells me, all right, you can stop. 10 seconds, we're done. Okay, half mile, we're done. Nope, you can stop.
Right.
At this next turn, we're going to stop and just slow down a bit. Just walk the curve.
Right.
So my brain tells me all the time to stop. You know, some battles I win and some, honestly, I lose. But as long as I'm a contender, that's what's important. You know, even though I may slow down because I'm tired, as long as I didn't stop, as long as I finished the workout. So the daily battles that we face when it comes to, you know, our brain, it wants to go back to what we mentally think of as happy. And a lot of our happy places are Thanksgiving dinner or relaxing or watching TV or just, you know, being sedentary. But once we get past the point of of thinking that, okay, this is my goal. Though I don't like this, I know I have to do it. My goal has become more important than my discomfort.
Right.
That is the biggest thing that causes people to fail, is that their discomfort becomes stronger than their desire to reach their goal. That is why when I have clients that are not successful, that is the majority reason of why they fail. And that also goes into their schedules. Oh, I'm too busy. I have to do this with the kids. Or I've got Bible study and I've got to do whatever. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That is the utmost. We've got to take care of it, because if we do not, number one, what are we teaching the kids? Number two, how am I fulfilling the purpose that God has for me if I can't walk, if I'm wobbling? I hate to see that. I hate to see a powerful or man or woman of God, and they come up to the pulpit wobbling. That tells me that they are not balanced. Now, I'm not just talking about physically. It tells me that they are not balanced. And we need to look at... Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'm listening. Go ahead.
If we see that, we need to look at, you know, how do I become a better balanced Christian? And again, it's always a process for everything in our walk. But that's one of the things that is the most difficult, is our discomfort is stronger than our desire to be successful.
Great. And I wanted to, I was thinking about that when you were saying that, you know, the balance, you know, some people struggle with weight and things of that nature. And some of those things may have to do with their thyroids or other things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything in your book for those individuals who the doctor said, I don't need you to do any type of strenuous activities because of this or that? Some people can't run because they have bad knees or things of that nature. Do you have anything in your book that addresses that?
There is a answer to almost everything. For every type of person. So, again, if I just use my grandmother as an example, Granny can't run. Granny can't run right now, you know. So, but Granny can still get some good information because it'll take her at her level. There are certain parts in the book where it says, you know, basically, where are you? What are you able to do? What are some hindrances? You know, sometimes I actually got off the phone with a client earlier today whose hindrances were knee pain. And this was an ex-Marine, ex-Navy. You know, and this individual just had some severe knee pain, almost 365, and they can't get out and run as much as they would like, or they can't lift as much as they would like. But what my book does is it literally gives you a wealth of information and saying, okay, if let's just say impact activities are difficult because of joint pain. All right, here are a list of non-impact activities that you can do at the same intensity. If you can't run, you can bike. If you can't bike, you can hop on the elliptical or swim or do this. Here's a time period for this. It just gives so much information. Like, I tried to be as thorough as I could. As a practitioner, it is written with the information that we as practitioners use to dealing with our clients, and not just personal trainers, but I mean exercise scientists, exercise physiologists. It's written as a book that a practitioner would use, but it's written in the language for a layperson to understand and to apply to themselves. So there is so much information in the book, but it's written easy enough for someone to understand and checkmark and follow their own individual path. But also, to go back and, all right, I did this. You know, this was successful. Let me tweak it this way. Oh, on this page, this shows me what I need to do. This shows me how I can make it harder. How can I can increase the intensity? Or if this didn't work, I'm going to go to this page and see how can I decrease the intensity. What does this mean? So I try to be as thorough as possible. And I think I'm super excited. I think it, you know, Design Your Body, Your Guide to Cutting Through the Fat will be a blessing to so many people in our communities.
Yes, yes. Okay. Now, what are three things you would tell a person to look for when selecting a trainer?
I had this question earlier today. Great question. When you are looking for a personal trainer, it is okay to ask for their credentials. It is absolutely okay. Now, there are different levels of credentials. You know, some trainers will get their certifications online. I'm personally not a fan of it, but I'm not going to, you know, knock someone else's, something that they may have worked hard for. But you need to, again, look at a few things. Look at their certification, but also look at how they answer your questions. If you ask a question, well, I'm having this problem. How can you help me? How can you tell me how to fix it? If their answer, you know, is generic, if it doesn't have a lot of knowledge behind it, as you want to be really careful about the knowledge that you're getting from a trainer. And, again, so that kind of backs up maybe an online certification, because some people may be very intelligent, though their certification may not be very high. But biggest thing, number one, is you want your personal trainer to be certified. And you can ask them to provide that. And also, if they say, well, I'm certified through this organization, you know, get that information and contact the organization and make sure. You can look up every organization that is a certifying entity. There is a log of all of their certifications and all of the people that have those certifications, and it'll tell you if it's current or not. Number two, almost the biggest thing, is it is important to ask your personal trainer if they have liability insurance. That is huge and is often overlooked. If your trainer does not have liability insurance and something happens, that we already know how that can look, you know, lawsuits, all this crazy stuff, but you want to make sure that they are diligent enough and professional enough to understand that, you know, I need to have a certification and I need to be insured. It's like your car insurance or your health insurance. You need to have a trainer that is insured. And the last thing that I will say about how to decide if you want a personal trainer is you need to be able to trust and feel that person. And what I mean by feel is you need to feel like you can create a good relationship. Different people have different responses or needs. Every time I meet with a client, I ask them, how do you want me to coach you? I had one lady, she told me, she was like, just don't stop encouraging me. She was like, I may cuss you out, I may say this, I might even hit you, but just don't stop encouraging me. And she told me that, and I was prepared, so I was able to coach her the way that she needed. But if you do not vibe, or if you do not have a good feeling or a good relationship with your trainer, you're not going to trust them. Therefore, you're not going to do what they say, you know, and therefore you're not going to come back, and it's just going to be a revolving door. So to recap, you want to make sure that they have a certified, that they are certified, and that they can provide you with their certification. Number two, you want to make sure that they have some type of liability insurance. It's okay to ask for that information. And thirdly, you have to be able to have a good relationship, or feel that you could have a good relationship and that you can trust this person. You want to know that they know their stuff. Because think about it, if you are an individual, you know, who's on blood pressure medication and who may be on beta blockers and who may have knee problems or whatever it may be, they need to know how to handle you if something goes down. Mm-hmm. If something goes down and they cannot handle you, what do you say? You sign the paperwork, you sign the waivers, but you didn't check on their background.
Right.
So those are the three things I would say.
Wow. And I want to add one more thing to that, because I know you train individuals and I train individuals. An attribute that we should all have or look for is patience. Because you may be at a different level than your client or your friend or whoever you're training, and you have to be patient, and you can't, in other words, expect them to perform at your level when they're just starting out. So you're going to have patience as a trainer so that you can optimize their experience with you.
Yes. And you have to, you know, along with that patience, some people might be drill sergeants. If they cannot adapt to you, that might not be the trainer that you need. You know, you need someone, like you said, that is patient with you, that knows that can handle you the way that you need to be handled. Each client is different. As a coach, I coach my athletes different. You know, if someone is, say, a life coach or any type of mentor, you have to treat people at or where they are and as they are. So you are absolutely right on that.
Okay. Now, what makes the Rock Solid Fitness LLC unique? What makes your company stand out?
That's a hard question. When you look at our field, you know, the field of health and wellness, there's so much stuff. There are so many people that feel that just because that they have a six pack that they can teach, that they can train. The things that make my company stand out is that I require all of my trainers to be certified. I require all of my trainers to have liability insurance. You know, we come with multiple degrees. You know, I've, again, just published this book, Design Your Body, Your Guide to Cutting Through the Fat. But also I've been published in a scientific journal of the Journal of Coaching Education, which is, a scientific peer review journal. So there are some credentials there. Go around and speak. Like, you, the biggest thing about the Rock Solid Fitness is that we cover the entire gambit of health and wellness. You know, we are not physicians, but we cover everything from nutrition to weight loss and to performance. So I can go from coaching Division I athletes to working with a 56-year-old individual who has who had ankle replacements or ankle issues. You know, so there we cover the entire gambit, not only in the setting of personal and one-on-one training, but also in group training. You know, if organizations or people want to contract us out to come and lead a workshop, whether that be a fitness workshop where we are being physically active, or that be, you know, hey, coach, I want you to come out and speak to my church group or speak to my organization about fitness, or can you tell us about diabetes, or tell us about how the brain acts with this. Like, there's just a wealth of knowledge between my partner and myself that we can bring to the world, you know, to the United States to start off with. And so our niche is the education. Our niche is that we are not only coaches, but we are also speakers and presenters. And we're just pretty much legit. I hope that answered the question.
Yeah, it did.
Okay, good.
Okay. My next question would be, what are some important steps to remember when training to lose weight?
The weight loss does not occur overnight.
That's right.
Life is not the Biggest Loser TV show. Point blank, period, it's not. You know, those individuals that are welcomed onto that show, they have gone through extensive screening, medical screening, to see if weight loss of that, you know, extreme in that situation is healthy for them. That is not an ideal situation. That is, again, the outlier. And preparing to lose weight, you have to prepare to change your life. You have to honestly sit down and look at, okay, it took me this amount of years to get to where I am. I have to realize it's going to take me some time to get to where, to get back to where I want to be. You know, I have some things that I get frustrated with people when they're in 3 months and it's like, you know, I've only lost 10, 15, 20 pounds and I wanted to lose 60 by now. It's a lot of things are, number one, not realistic, but number two, it depends on you. I will give you the most up-to-date knowledge and information and plans and guidance that I can, but I can't do it for you. That's the hard thing.
What do you mean you can't do it for me?
Exactly, right? Coach, what are you saying? You know, if the biggest reason why people don't lose weight is that they don't go hard enough. Maybe, you know, this I'm saying in the way of my athletic days, but you got to go hard. You ate hard at Thanksgiving. You ate hard at Christmas. You ate hard every Sunday after church.
That's right.
You know, you have to put in that same level, if not higher, of intensity every time you work out. If you, at bare minimum, you should be engaged in some type of exercise 3 times a week for an hour during those times, or at least, you know, 6 times 30-minute periods. But you need to be active, and your level of intensity will dictate your progress in weight loss. And I'll say that again.
Right.
Your level of intensity will dictate your progress in weight loss.
And let's break this down a little bit, Coach.
For
all of our, mm-hmm. When we talk about the intensity, if you could touch a little bit on taking our, for instance, when we take our resting heart rate and working heart
mm-hmm.
rate,
mm-hmm.
what is an average number that we should hit every time we're working out? And I know it depends on the body, people's
mm-hmm.
bodies, but what's an average working heart rate?
It depends. I can't give an average, but what you're getting all up in my book because you're getting all the good stuff today. But what I always encourage people to do is the very simple formula, you know, 220 minus your age. Now, that
right.
gives you your maximal intensity. I hate that formula because it only has a very limited age range. But we'll start there. You got to get the book for all the good stuff. Design Your Body, Your Guide to Cutting Through the Fat. but in general, you know, if you take 220 and you subtract your age, that'll be your maximum heart rate, meaning that that's as hard as your heart can beat. Now, from that, your maximum heart rate becomes your 100%. Okay?
That's right.
So at your 100%, again, you can't go higher. Now, when you exercise, you want to exercise between 55 and typically 85, for some people, 90% of your heart rate maximum. So you can go do your own calculations, you know, all those that are listening. But 220, subtract your age, that number then becomes your 100%. And let's just say your maximum was 186, okay? Now, if you take that 186 and math lesson, you multiply by 0.55, that will give you 55% of what your heart rate should be.
Right.
So if I do, you know, 186 times 0.55, that tells me that 55%, if my heart rate max was 186 beats per minute, 55% is 102 beats per minute. You know, and I go the reverse. So that's the lowest that you should range for, is 55%. Again, this is for the average population. This is not for everyone. Now, the highest that I suggest, you know, we'll stick with 85. Do the same thing. Multiply your heart rate maximum by 0.85 for 85%. And that'll give you 85% of your heart rate maximum. And you should be staying within those ranges. And when creating your workouts, you want to have certain days that are low intensity and other days that are high intensity. There are some days where I will only lift. And when I lift, my heart rate does not get to 100% of my maximum. It might get 60, 70 on sometimes. But in general, that's my low heart rate intensity day. When I'm doing cardio, you know, I don't, like I said, I hate running, so you will not see me running marathons or running long. I don't think God made me for that one. But, you know, I will put in a good sprint workout. I will do things to get my heart rate up and put in higher intensity activities than low and long intensity or low and long duration activities. So heart rate range, again, to summarize, 55 to 85%, and that's for the average population. But the higher intensity that you can muster, the more weight you can lose. Because the higher intensity means that you're burning overall more calories.
That's right. And I want to put a plug in there as well, because when you work out, when anyone works out, you need to make sure that you're meeting those ranges. Once you take your
resting heart rate and your working heart rate and you do all of that mathematical operations, you want to make sure that you're within that zone, because that is when you begin to see results. I hear many people say, you know, I go out to the track, I walk or I jog, and I don't see any results. And it's because you're not in that threshold. You're not in the zone because, you know, we all know that after 15 minutes of working out, you begin to experience, I'm not going to say weight loss, but your metabolism begins to come into play after 15 minutes. And so just make sure that when you're working out that you're in that zone that we're talking about, that Coach Brock is talking about, so that you can begin to see results.
Definitely. You're absolutely correct. And again, like the biggest issue that people have is, like you said, I'll go to the track, I'll walk 12 laps, you know, I'll do that 3 times a week. And a lot of times your body will reach a plateau because your body will get to the point where it's saying, hey, that's not hard enough. You want me to burn more calories? I need you to step it up. We've got to realize that it is okay to push ourselves.
Right. That's right. Okay. Great. Now, what are some of individuals, what are individuals saying concerning their struggles regarding weight loss? What are some of the struggles for your clients that you train when we're speaking about weight loss?
As in, you know, why, what issues they're having when trying to lose weight?
Yes.
The most consistent thing I hear is, I don't have time, you know, or I fell off my regimen because I had to go to class. I had to stay late for work. I had to do this. I don't like getting up early. You know, schedule is the hardest thing to get around when working with an individual. Now, you know, I also hit on this in the book. We all have the same 24 hours. We all have the same 24 hours. And though we may pray to the good Lord for a little bit more, we might not get it. He might change something. You never know. But for now, we know that it's 24 hours. But the struggle with weight loss, again, your goal has to be stronger than your level of discomfort.
Sure.
We know that you've got to take care of the kids. You got to take them to work. You got to take the boo to work or to school, or you have to go to school yourself, work, class, homework, Bible study, choir meeting, organization, practice, study groups, whatever we may have, we put all of those things above our health. And a lot of times that becomes an issue. Now, it is okay to do something for a season. You know, it is okay to do something for a season. But when it comes to your health, which is not a season, we need to be constant with that. Now, I have clients who, they have a gym at their job, or they have a gym at their apartment, or they have a gym membership, and they don't use it. You know, that it baffles me. If you have a gym at work, just go before work, take a shower, and then go to work. Or go after work, you're there. Same thing with your apartment or your condo complex. You know, if you have a facility there, use it. But the biggest thing is that we allow our schedules to get in the way because, plainly stated, we get lazy. No matter how many souls we're blessing in what we're doing, no matter how many things and how many people that we're touching, we are so much more adamant for others than we are for ourselves. It is okay to take that time to say, I'm going to get up and work out, or I'm going to stay a little later and work out. You know, no son, no daughter. Mommy needs this time. You know, daddy needs his time to himself. We have to be able to put that time aside. And again, though I'm saying workout, I'm talking about putting time aside to create your own health. There are times where I may not have worked out, but I may have literally just sat down, closed my eyes, and created a environment of mental health, if you will. You know, if meditate, whatever word you want to use. That's how you become healthy. When you realize what you need and in what state you need, control your body. God, they gave us dominion over the world, but we don't take it over our own soul or over our own body or our own mind. And that should be the first and the easiest thing to do. We try and combat others and combat their will, or, you know, try and sway and lead them to do this, and we can become very successful at that. But we aren't successful within ourselves. It's about taking control. Take hold of your life. If you have a goal, if you have a desire, you are the reason that it's not being accomplished, especially when that goal is internal, when it's about you. You can tell someone to hold on. You need an hour a day. You know, go out and play an hour a day, right? You need an hour a day. You need some time to yourself. You can tell someone, I need to do me just for this. You can have 23 hours. Give me one. It's okay to do that, you know. It is okay to tell Mother Jones, you know, Mother, I'm not going to be early to Bible study today because I really need to take care of my health, you know. I really need to do that so I can come back next week, so I can come back the week after that. But you need to be able to tell things and people and stuff that you are putting you as important. You are making yourself important. You know, have dominion over your own temple.
That's right. That's very powerful. Wow. That's right. And I think something that stood out to me was make time for yourself. And God is wanting us to make time for him as well. Because anytime we make time for ourselves, we're making time for God. If we're too busy to make time for ourselves, then I could just only imagine how much time we're giving God. And so you're right. At some point in our lives, we're going to have to push the pause button, and we're going to have to look out for number one, for ourselves.
Yep.
That's not a selfish move, but if you do not, and if you do not take care of your body and you put other things as a priority over your health, then you will no longer be able to do those things because your health is suffering. And so that's
exactly
how many individuals have to unwillingly stop what they love to do or what they're doing because they do not take out time to exercise or just to clear their mind, you know.
Exactly.
So you're right.
And, you know, a lot of times we look at I find it interesting how some, you know, say preachers or ministers in general, how some will take time off of the ministry to go deal with themselves. I think that, like, that gets so much respect from me. Because you can't feed me when you're not straight, you know. you can't help me because you're going to end up passing something to me that I don't need to get right now because I'm trying to get healed. Now, it's the same thing if you look at the spiritual realm to the physical realm. Sometimes you do need to take that time off and take care of yourself. Again, this is a I've been in school and been in classes and sometimes just been so enamored or taken back at God and just like, man, can you, like, just imagining the body, all of the billions of intricate details and systems and processes that we still don't even know today, but for his most precious creation, we give it the least amount of importance.
Right.
We as individuals are made in his image, again, his most precious creation, but we find it important to give importance to or to give clout or, step over everything else as opposed to taking care of ourselves. Like, I want to be around to see my grandkids and my great-grands. I want to do that. I want to be able to do things that God would have me to do. I want to be able to hear God. If I'm preaching and I'm wheezing, I might not be able to hear what God is trying to say.
Right.
Because I'm trying to breathe and catch my breath, and, you know, Minister so and so is talking to me, or Mother so and so is doing this. But I say it comically, but it's the truth. You know, it's physical weakness prevents the accomplishments of much that otherwise might be done.
Right.
And that's
right,
real.
Right. That's right. Wow, that's good. Do you have anything else you would like to share that was not shared in the questioning process?
I'll give you guys some information on the book because I'm super excited. It's self-published. This is my first book, second published. But again, the book is called Design Your Body, Your Guide to Cutting Through the Fat. And you guys can actually purchase a book on Lulu.com. Lulu, which is, you know, www.lulu.com/designyourbody. You'll be able to pick it up on Amazon, on Barnes & Noble, on the library, any store that has a global distribution system. You can go to it, order it, have them come in. Also, my Facebook, please contact me on Facebook. I love hearing from people. I love the questions that I get and the commentary that I get. My name is Kayla, Health Coach Brock. Kayla is C-A-I-L-A-H, Health Coach, and then Brock, B-R-O-C-K. Same thing on Instagram, it's Kayla Health Coach Brock. On Twitter, it's Coach Kayla. YouTube, I'm on almost everything. Google Plus. Contact me. Let me know if you have any questions, how I can help you, you know, how we can work together. And also, again, as you mentioned before, sister, that one of the things that I do is I do go around the country speaking to organizations and groups and businesses on health and wellness and fitness. And so now that I'm having the book out, I'm definitely open to those bookings. So I encourage that. Amen. Yes. Amen. All right, please get in contact with me because, again, I feel that this is what God has me to do. You know, I don't want to say missionary or anything like that, but I feel like he has me going around and speaking to people on this subject because it's so underprivileged almost, or it's not as important in our community as it should be, and even in the Christian community. So I love to hear from you guys. Please support me again, Kayla Health Coach Brock. You can pick up my book from lulu.com/designyourbody. Hit me on Facebook, Kayla Health Coach Brock. My website is www.kaylahealthcoachbrock.com. If you type in Kayla Health Coach Brock, you'll find me.
Right. Okay. Well, Coach Brock, I really appreciate you taking out time of your busy schedule to come on the Love Live Jesus Ministry. Feel free to invite your other friends and let them know about this ministry. And I thank you so much, and I ask that God continue to bless and take care of your company, your family, and everything that you do.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
All right, and please stay in contact with me, okay?
Yes, ma'am. I sure will. God bless you.
You too.
Bye-bye. All right. Bye-bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Coach Brock. And remember that with her particular information, she has a book out entitled Design Your Body, so be sure to look for that book because she has some great information. I have a few announcements to make. Please be sure to uplift your family and friends by asking them, telling them to log on to blogtalkradio.com/freedolove. That's blogtalkradio.com/FREDALOVE. Gospel artists, artist promoters, authors, actress, publicists, any positive community leaders, please contact Afreda Love. That's AlFredaLove, or FredaLove, or EMONYA_love@yahoo.com. I would love to have you on the ministry. Be sure that you are praying for 225 individuals. If you have to pray for all of your family members, put them all in one line and pray for them one by one, and pray for your friends, and do not forget to pray for yourself. In addition to that, the Spiritual Guide on the Go is online at many of the bookstores, and it's in the United Kingdom as well. I just received an email. I'm currently working on a book, A Christian's Faith to the Finish. As you know, if you listen to the previous segment, you will find that this particular book will be just very informational and very encouraging and uplifting, and it will give us that extra push so that we can make it to the finish line. In addition to that, please be sure to mark on your calendars for November, I believe, the 15th. As you know, one of my guests, Miss Shalice, was on here. She played Missy Elliott in the Aaliyah movie. So be sure to mark your calendars for that. I'm actually looking on my calendar wall, and I believe it's November 15th. So please mark your calendars for that. Let's see here. November 15th at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, the Aaliyah movie. So please be sure to support that particular project. They have some great actors and actresses. And as you know, one of the actresses was actually on the radio ministry a couple of weeks ago.
In addition to that, make sure that you mark on your calendars April, and put a question mark. The Built to Last conference will be in full effect. I am in the process of letting many people know, publicizing it. Please be sure to publicize it on your radios, media, anywhere possible, because this workshop is going to focus on our youth. And the first workshop, of course, will be in Belmead, Texas. The second workshop will be in San Antonio, Texas. And we're going to just spread this particular workshop because we have to break the bricks of anger in order to reach our students. So, therefore, we want to make sure that we mark our calendars for April and keep a Saturday open. I don't know which Saturday yet. I'm going to have to pray about it. I don't know which Saturday yet. In addition to that, just make sure that you govern yourselves accordingly to all of the announcements that you have heard. Make sure that if you have any questions or if you need to know any information, to email me, as I said before, at emonya_love@yahoo.com. We will have many gospel artists who will come on. We will have different actors and actresses, different individuals that you see on TV who will be on the Love Live Jesus Ministry. Praise God. We thank God for sending those individuals. And we just ask that you continue to just stay empowered and uplifted, because God wants to encourage us, and he wants us to know that he is our coach. He wants us to know that he is able to lead and guide us to success. Each person has a season. Each person who's listening to this particular ministry, God has a season for you. And if your season has not arrived, that means that you are still getting ready. And so do not throw in the towel. Do not give up, because God is faithful unto us, and if you continue to run, you will finally make it to your destination. So without further ado, I want you to join me on Saturday as we welcome Miss Angela Blair. She has been on the Bobby Jones Gospel. She does a lot of different events. She has a wonderful voice. She just put out a new CD that I want you guys to know about. And so please support her. Look up Angela Blair on any of the social media sites and support her ministry, because her ministry is powerful as well. So please join me on Friday. On tomorrow, I will actually be at a movie theater analyzing, I believe it's, the title of the movie is something like Big Hero or, Big Hero 6. And so be sure to go out to the movies and check it out and let me know how you like it. It's a very just fun experience to be able to analyze the different movies and bring back some feedback. We will also go over event planning. I do want to touch on one particular area of event planning, and that particular area is entitled, when we look at event planning, basically the structure of event planning. When we look at structure, we're looking at seating arrangements, we're looking at stage presence, and we're looking at different things within the venue. So this is a pet peeve, and this is just a FYI. When we have events, whatever event it is, and when we have particular tickets or things like that, and we call them VIPs, or we have regular tickets, there should be a distinct difference between VIP and regular seating. And what I mean by that is you want to make sure that when these people are paying for VIPs, you want to make sure that they have good seating and they are able to see the stage, because it's kind of awkward, right, when individuals, they pay for VIP, but they're behind the stage or they're way on the side of the stage where they can't see the front of the stage. And although we have different projections up where they can see the individuals on the screen, it's just not the same. And so either when we're planning for events, and this is FYI, I'm actually writing about this, when we're planning for events, we need to either reduce the number, right, because that's going to decrease some of the funding, but we want to make sure that we're taking care of our clients. Either decrease the VIP numbers so that they can have great seating, or look at the design of the room and make arrangements, because it's very important. When people come to our events, when we bring people in and we tell them this is VIP, we want to make sure it's really VIP. And VIP means you're able to see, right? The V is for vision to me. The I is for individualization. And the P is for people. We have to treat each person as our friend, and we have to make sure that they, each person who comes, whether they're VIP or whether they're RIP, regular, invited people, okay? We have to make sure that each person has a great seat, period. So we're going to be talking about event planning. We're going to be talking about just hospitality for the people who come to our events, because it's very important that we illustrate hospitality, especially when we're bringing artists in. And we want to make sure that we're leaving good impressions on people, okay? So we're going to talk about that a little bit. That was just a brief synopsis. But if someone asks you what that big, beautiful smile is all about, you tell them that love lifts you up because God is love. And until next time, which is Saturday, take care of yourselves and each other. This is our Free to Love with the Love Lift Jesus Ministry, where Jesus shines with love. Thank you all so much. Goodbye, everybody.
Oh, yeah. You have been tuned in to the finest talk show ministry on the internet. The Love Lift Up Jesus Ministry. Featuring your host, Dr. Elfrida Love. Reminding you to be diligent in your prayers as you pray for someone this week. We say goodbye as we depart from the airwaves, but reminding you that we never, ever depart from the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that is His Word. And on that, you can depend. Always remember that Jesus Christ has your back. And there ain't nothing the devil can do about it. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Jesus.